We'll turn now to Luke chapter 11. Reading verses 1 through 13. On page 869. Luke chapter 11. Verses 1 through 13. This is the word of the Lord. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he teaches them to pray, "Father, hallowed be your name." If we are to understand this request, "hallowed be your name," and we must understand this request if we are to pray with our minds, if we are to understand this request, "hallowed be your name," then we must understand what it means for one's name to be hallowed, and also the name that is to be hallowed. First then, what is the name that is to be hallowed? Without question, it is the name of the Father. But what is the name of the Father? Is it Father? Our earthly fathers, we may address them as Father, but we would not say that their name is Father. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. We address Him as Father, but that is not His name. But if not, then what is His name? What is the name of the Father? We may answer this question in the same way that we would answer one concerning the name into which we are baptized. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is that name? Is it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No. It is the one name that belongs to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Not the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The name of the Father is also the name of the Son. And the name of the Son is also the name of the Spirit. It is one name that the Father and the Son and the Spirit share. So what is that name? What is that name which is to be hallowed? What is the name of the Father? The answer to this question is twofold. On the one hand, the name of the Father, which is also the name of the Son and the name of the Spirit. The name of the Father is that name revealed to us in the Old Testament, the name Yahweh, which in our English Bibles is most often translated as the Lord. His name is the Lord. His name is Yahweh. The Father is Yahweh. The Son is Yahweh. The Spirit is Yahweh. The name of the Father, that name which is to be hallowed, is Yahweh. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Verse 15. Say this to the people of Israel, "The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." The name of God, the name of the Father, is Yahweh. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, concerning the place of Israel's worship, Moses instructs the people, "You shall seek the place that the Lord, Yahweh, your God, will choose out of all your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there." And in Psalm 132, in verse 13, we are reminded of God's choice, of the place that he chose. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. "This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And so the temple built in Zion. What was it called? The temple of the Lord. The temple of Yahweh. The place of His name. What is the name of the Father? The name of the Father is that name revealed to us in the Old Testament. The name of the Father, which is the name of the Son and the name of the Spirit, is the Lord Yahweh. And so the one to whom you pray, the one whom you call Father, is none other than the God of the Old and New Testaments, the Creator and Sustainer of all things, the Redeemer of His people, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and grace, the God of love and peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The name of the Father is the name of the one true and living God. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it is the Lord Yahweh. This is the one to whom you pray. This is the name that is to be hallowed. But we said the answer to this question is twofold. On the one hand, we may say that the name of the Father is Yahweh. But on the other hand, we must recognize that the name of the Father is more than just a name. The name of the Father is more than just a name. His name is also His presence. His name is His presence. Consider again Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Concerning the place of Israel's worship, the place where God puts His name is the place where God dwells. The name of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 9, as soon as Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord appears to him and says to him, "I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever." And how did God put His name there? How did he consecrate that house? By putting his name there. How did he put his name there? First Kings chapter 8, verse 10. When the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Very thing which happened upon the completion of the tabernacle happens upon the completion of the temple. The Lord puts His name upon that place by filling it with His glory, by filling it with His presence. The name of the Lord is more than a name. The name of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord is to call upon the Lord. His name is His presence. The name of the Father, it is the presence of the Father. This helps us to understand what it means for His name to be hallowed. What it means for His name to be sanctified. What it means for His name to be made holy. To hallow is an old way of saying to sanctify, to make holy. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be sanctified. Let your name be made holy. But what does that mean, really? What does it mean for God, who is holy? What does it mean for His name to be made holy? What does it mean for His name to be sanctified? What does it mean for His name to be made holy? In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31, we read there, "So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel." Here we see what it means for God's name not to be hallowed, not to be sanctified, not to be made holy. The opposite of God's name being hallowed is His name being profaned. And what does it mean to profane the name of the Lord? Leviticus chapter 20 gives us an example concerning one who gives any of his children to Moloch. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3, "I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Moloch to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name." To worship Moloch, to worship another god, was to profane the name of the Lord. It was to defile His sanctuary. Here again we see that close relationship between God's name and His presence. To profane the name of the Lord is also to defile the place where He has put His name. To profane the name of the Lord is to defile that place where He Himself dwells. And how then would the people not profane His name? How would the people sanctify His name? By keeping His commandments. By doing them. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, and you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For God's name to be sanctified, it requires a sanctified people. For God's name to be made holy, it requires a people made holy. A people set apart. A people set apart to reflect His character. To show forth His likeness. To be His image. This is the understanding of our catechism. What do we pray for in saying, "Hallowed be your name"? We pray that God would enable us and others to glorify Him in all that whereby He maketh Himself known. For God's name to be hallowed is for His people to glorify Him through obedience to His commands revealed in His Word. For God's name to be hallowed is for His people to glorify Him through obedience to His commands revealed in His Word. The place of His presence, it is the place of His name. For His name to be sanctified is for His people to be sanctified. For His name to be made holy is for His people to be made holy. This is revealed in the Old Testament, but it is made all the clearer in the New Testament as the church is explicitly said to be the temple of the Lord, as you are the dwelling place of God. This is something that is anticipated in the Old Testament. It is something that is fulfilled in the New Testament. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, the priests of Israel were instructed to bless the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel." to bless the people in the name of the Lord, in the name of Yahweh. It was to put His name upon the people. And it suggests that the people themselves were to become His true dwelling place, that place where His name would be sanctified forever. Something which required the passing away of the earthly temple. And it did pass away when the people used it not to sanctify the name of the Lord, but to profane the name of the Lord. Beyond the temple's destruction, beyond the people's exile, was the promise of a day when God's name would be hallowed, when His name would be sanctified, the promise of a day when He would dwell in the midst of a sanctified people. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among the nations. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. In Isaiah and in Ezekiel, the Lord promises the coming of a day when His name would be sanctified through the sanctification of His people. A day when His name would be sanctified through His presence in His people by His Spirit. And so as in the Old Testament, when the presence of God descended upon the tabernacle, when the presence of God descended upon the temple, so in the New Testament, in fulfillment of the promise, the presence of God descends upon Jesus in His baptism. In His baptism, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended upon Him, and a voice declared, "This is my Son." By this, God was indicating that Jesus was and is the true temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus was and is the true dwelling place of God. In Jesus, the promise of Isaiah, the hope of Ezekiel, is fulfilled as the name of the Lord is perfectly hallowed, is perfectly sanctified, is perfectly made holy through the perfect obedience of Christ. Christ never failed to show forth the holiness of that one whose name was placed upon him. Christ never failed to show forth the holiness of that one whose presence filled him. In Christ, the name of the Lord, the name of the Father, was sanctified. But the story does not end there. For Christ did this not for his own sake, but for yours. That you might be a holy people. That God's name might be sanctified in you. And so as the presence of the Lord descended upon the tabernacle, as the presence of the Lord descended upon the temple when he put his name there, and as the presence of the Lord descended upon Jesus in his baptism, so also on the day of Pentecost, the presence of the Lord descended upon the church. A day when his people at last were filled with his Spirit, that they might walk in his statutes, that they might obey his rules. That they might live in holiness and righteousness before him all their days. That they might sanctify his name. That you might live in holiness and righteousness before him all your days. That you might sanctify his name. In your baptism, the Father has put his name upon you, saying of you, declaring to you, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. His name is upon you. His Spirit is within you, that you might sanctify his name. That you might show forth his glory. By becoming a people who stand in awe of him, who worship him, who obey him, who glorify him, who enjoy him. For from him and through him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. So when you pray, say, "Hallowed be your name." Amen. Let us pray.